Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No! It's the Flight Free Podcast. One presenter. One special guest. One mission to save planet Earth. Will they succeed? Find out in this thrilling episode of the Flight Free Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Flight Free Podcast. I'm Anna, the director of Flight Free UK, and this month we are joined by Andrew from SailLink, which is a new company offering a cross-channel ferry service by sailing boat. So welcome to the podcast, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Anna. Lovely to be here.
And this is exciting for me because I actually joined you last month on a test run sailing across the channel, which was a great experience. But let's start at the beginning. So can you just introduce yourself to the listeners and tell the listeners a little bit about you?
Hello, listeners. My name's Andrew. I set up SailLink about 4 years ago, pretty much in response to my own needs to get back and forth across the channel. In a way that I wanted to do and that suited my type of travel. I started life as a boat builder in England, Scotland, and then a few years later went into environmental science, looking at life cycle assessments of energy and transport systems. So yeah, I'm really bringing a lot of that together into SailLink. I also work with Sail Cargo projects, so I've taken a lot of inspiration from that. But otherwise, I'm a father of three, live in Switzerland, and yeah, just trying to get back and forth. So I'm pretty much a traveler, not a big round-the-world yachtsman or anything.
But a big background in boats with the boat building. I guess you've kind of lived, grown up with boats. Would that be accurate?
Not really. I got into it with my dad when I was a teenager. He decided to get a little boat and we, with virtually zero knowledge, we went boating out of Bridlington on the northeast coast. Very, very sort of innocent stuff. Very glad. We could have got into a lot of problems, I think, because of our lack of knowledge, but happily we didn't.
You don't want to say that too loud because if you're going to be the skipper for people traveling across the channel with you, you've got lots of experience now, though.
That was some years ago. That was the start. Everyone's going to start somewhere, right?
Yeah. So fast forward then. So SailLink, in simple terms, it is a sailing boat traveling across the channel, carrying passengers. So an alternative to the current cross-channel ferries, which are motor-driven and what have you. So is that kind of it in a nutshell?
Yes, let's instead of using the word alternative, actually, let's just say this is a service designed for those for whom the current options are not designed. So when I say that, I mean, when I started this, I was thinking, okay, I want to arrive at the coast by train and get easily to a boat to go across the channel. And the big ferries are basically floating bits of motorway, so they're not designed to link to trains. So I was thinking, well, why can't you just walk down to the harbour? If you're not going with a vehicle, you don't need to go on a huge ship from a ferry terminal. You could just go on a boat from a harbour very close to a train station. I mean, not all ports have train stations close to their harbours, but quite a few do. So that's the actual idea. And then from that also, I looked then at cyclists, you know, cycle tourists, for whom the options are very limited to the vehicle ferries. But of course, the vehicle ferries are not designed for cyclists. So rather than actually being an alternative, it's just actually a solution for those people.
So that's your target audience, is it? The cyclists, the foot passengers? Obviously, you're not taking any motor vehicles. That's completely not going to happen. But
I've had quite a few inquiries from people with motorbikes, but I'm not taking those either. I don't know how I'd get those on. Too heavy. Don't want it. They can go on the vehicle, right? And dog owners, actually, which is very interesting.
I suppose because it's very hard to cross the channel with a pet, especially because Eurostar don't allow pets. I don't know what the rules are for the
in a ferry. I believe you've got to leave your pet in the car. So Yes, with those, you can bring your pet and have a combined experience with your pet, I guess. But also, once I was telephoned by a lady who was pretty much almost in tears because she couldn't get across the channel because she was traveling with her bike and her dog. And she would, of course, would, like you say, not on the Eurostar, you can't take, because you can't take a bike, really, unless it's a folding bike, and then a dog also not. On the vehicle ferry as well, she couldn't leave her dog anywhere. She didn't have a vehicle to leave her dog in. And of course, a flight is not an option. So she was saying, I just can't travel across.
Interesting. So you've kind of identified that gap in the market. But as you say, it's from your own experience and making it a nice experience. And this is what I want as a consumer and as a traveler. Well, it doesn't exist. So, hey, I'm just going to start it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that's quite right. And then into that play, the whole sort of hopefully low carbon arguments, low emission, but basically just a good experience, you know, making the journey also part of the time away. It's not just, oh, when are we going to get there? We can start a holiday or whatever you want to say. But no, especially for the cycle tourists, is actually linking the cycle route, because there's also now Euro Velo routes which cross into England or into the UK. So actually it's the connecting part. It's not so much an alternative, but a new thing, strangely a new thing, even though it's sailing. It's not new, is it?
Yeah, exactly. It feels like a lot of the solutions to our current challenges are perhaps taking things back to basics a little bit and looking at the things that we've always had and perhaps revisiting them a bit. So as mentioned, I took part in one of your test sales. So when you're testing the timetable and the practicalities of it all. So it is in the early stages at the moment. You haven't actually launched yet. So how's it going?
Well, I think all pretty well. You know, I'm doing this on an absolute shoestring. You know, there's no big team or big financing behind this. It's pretty much me with the support of my wife and a very, very good sailing instructor in the UK and friends, doing it as and when we can and as and what we can, all little step by step. But it's all been steps in the right direction, I think. It's not always gone as quickly as I wanted to go. You know, I wanted to be up and running already this year, but we're not yet. But we've, okay, the next best thing we could do is to do this test phase, just to run to the schedule, make sure that when we do come to publish a schedule that we can be confident of keeping to it, and that it works with the tides, you know, to know that the ports are all supportive, etc., that the procedures, the border procedures work, all that. And while that goes on, we're looking for the suitable boat we can actually acquire to run this for a season from April to October. And those sort of boats don't sort of just hang around in every harbour. You know, it's a very, very specific thing we're after. Actually, what we're after is something purpose-built, but we don't actually know what we need to build yet. So we need to find what the best thing we can and modify a bit and then start. It's not actually that much needed to get it going. Like I say, we need a good boat, of course, the finance in to get that, and a few crew, and we're off, basically, a booking system. But yeah, we're doing okay. The next step is to get launched, hopefully by spring next year.
So the season will be April to October, and you're kind of on track for that, are you? April 2024?
Well, I'd say so, except, yeah, the lack of a boat is a bit of a, bit of a hurdle. But
and according to your website, it looks as though this is hopefully the start of something a bit bigger. So the ultimate idea would be to offer this kind of service for other routes as well. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously in the future, but...
Yep, that's right. Of course, we've got, ambitions. It's difficult to know with something like this. We say it's new. Of course, it's sailing, which is, as old as you like. But just to what it can expand and grow is quite open. We have to let it evolve. We do have on our website a few other routes we'd like to try. New Haven Dieppe would be a really interesting one because it's the London to Paris cycle route. And going anywhere other than Boulogne to Dover because of the geography of the English Channel or the Channel, there's nothing really in between the 24 nautical miles that we're doing now and like 60 or 65 that Dieppe to New Haven would be, or Cherbourg to Portland, something like that.
Yeah, the practicalities in terms of the tides are much harder then, aren't they?
Well, yeah, then of course you're just getting the tides. We at the moment we cross from Dover Boulogne or Boulogne to Dover on one tide, and that's in that 4 hours. And I really do think that 4 hours is a nice time for a crossing. If you go into more than that, you know, you're getting into 6 or 8 hours, and that's a long time for somebody to just step on board and think, "Oh, I'll give this a go." But it's just, you know, Dover Boulogne, it's just about getting it going. You know, this is all, it's all pretty much my imagination of what can work. I mean, of course we've tested and we've done things, but you just got to start and then see how it goes and what is actually needed and what do people actually want. Yeah.
Should we delve into the, you mentioned the low carbon aspect, let's delve into that a little bit more. So these are the benefits of crossing the channel in this way. So we spoke about this a little bit while we were doing the crossing, because it's a bit more complicated than just saying, well, this is a zero carbon way of crossing the channel, especially because you will need to motor in and out of the harbour. And then there's sometimes, if the conditions aren't right, especially with the wind direction and strength, there are, you know, we had the motor on for quite a lot of getting out and almost to halfway across the channel on the outward leg, didn't we? So do you know, in accurate terms, and of course that's almost impossible to work out, but how close to being, well, how low carbon is it?
Until I know which boat we're using and what the motorization on that will be, or the fuel then as well, it's difficult to say just how low carbon we will be. I mean, again, going back to my start in this, you've got to start somewhere, right? But I know the low carbon is a big topic for everybody, but also for the people who will want to join this. So, of course, I'm really interested to find the lowest carbon method possible of propelling the boat in and out of the harbour. And then, like you say, and when there's not much wind, yeah, we want to stick to some sort of schedule, so we will keep going. So, yeah, that's all a bit to be developed. I mean, whether we could be electric, because the distance is not that far, and we can have, you know, then we charge up at the ports either end, and we can have lots of solar panels on the top of the boat. But, yeah, just how far we will be down that road at the start, I'm not quite sure.
Well, yeah, in all of this, we can only do the best we can. And taking a sailing boat across the channel is definitely better than taking a big motoring ferry, even if it involves having the motor on at some points.
Well, yes, it's a difficult argument. And I haven't, even though I worked in the field of life cycle assessment, which does exactly that, it quantifies emissions of things like this, and you always have to compare, don't you? Otherwise you don't know where you are, unless you say we just quantify for the sake of quantification and then we try to get lower. We can also do that, but until you compare, you don't know really where you stand. So if you compare to the large ferries, it gets quite cloudy, because ferries, of course, like we said, they take lorries, cars, bikes, foot passengers. And so of the total emissions, they have to sort of decide how much of that do we allocate to each of those services. So then it's already becoming based on assumptions. And then going to us, of course, economies of scale. And of course, we can chuck the engine on for a few miles, and that has a far bigger impact on our handful of passengers than on a big, large ferry. But it also depends, what are you burning? Of course, you know, you have to look at the whole life cycle.
Yeah, because you are carrying a limited number of passengers, of course. What's the total?
We're taking a maximum of 12 people. And again, same argument, we have to start somewhere. So we'll start with that. And then let's prove the whole thing. Let's show that it works. Because what we're trying to do is to sail to a schedule, which is why in the beginning, or those years ago, people went to steam and then oil, right? Because they wanted to leave and get there on time, or they wanted to say, well, we want to do routes that are not actually in accordance with the tides or so. Oh, we want to be able to ignore all that and just leave then and get there then. So SailLink does actually design its routes according to the natural prevailing conditions to give us the best possible chance of sailing and continuing to sail and not saying, well, we've got an engine, why do we even bother using the sails? The sails should always be the better way of getting the ship boat from A to B.
Okay, well, let's think about the other benefits then, as well as the low carbon aspect. There's also the adventure and the experience. And I can attest to that, having been on the boat myself. One thing I really noticed is the time goes so quickly because it's, what, a four-hour sail, which sounds a lot. That's definitely longer. You're spending longer on the boat than if you were to take one of the cross-channel ferries. But it definitely didn't feel like 4 hours. I mean, we had a quite lucky day because the visibility was really good. So the whole time we could see both England and France. And that's always really nice. You know, you can see where you're leaving and you can see where you're going to. So although there were points where it didn't really get closer, did it?
Yeah, it's reassuring, but it can, if you're not going that fast, it can, if you can already see where you're trying to get to, it can also feel quite slow because that other shore just does not get closer.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, for me, as I said, it's, I mean, all of the stories that we share and the kind of travel that we encourage our followers to take part in is the adventurous type. And we really encourage people to think about the experience that they're having and see that as part of it. So, I mean, this is the absolute epitome of that, isn't it? You're right next to the water. It's very involving.
That's right. And so I do focus on the experience and the convenience first. I do want to make a convenient crossing, like I've said, convenient for people traveling by foot or with a bike to get on board. And you've said that it's quite a longer crossing than with the ferry. That's right. But if we include the procedures of both ends until you're on the boat, I mean, with us, it's a few minutes.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I hadn't really considered that because even as a foot passenger, as a bicycle passenger, to go from Dover, you have to show up early and, yeah, you sit around having a cup of tea for an hour and a half waiting. So,
well, yeah, you do, or you have to get on. Yeah, there's, I guess safety-wise, they want you on as the first before all the trucks and everything, you know, that you don't go on with the trucks, but you have to go on first, and then you also get off last. So, and then together with the, you know, actually just getting to the ship, especially as a foot passenger, it does take a long, long time going through the procedures and getting on a bus and getting a bus at the other end, etc. But I don't want to demonize that. Like we said, it's not designed for them, so it's not going to be particularly optimal. So that's what we're doing, is trying to design something which is for them. With us, you can literally be on the harbour side and then we let you through the gate into the harbour, into the marina, and then you walk down and you're on the boat. And then we give you an introduction, a safety briefing, and get your life jacket on, and then we can be off. There's passport control, of course, which is basically just, if you need it, a stamp in your passport, and that's it.
And then the novelty as well of being right next to the water, and being at sea is a very unique experience, especially being so involved in being at sea on a sailing boat. You can see all the nautical stuff on the water, which is quite cool if you don't know anything about it, you know, the lightships and the cardinals and all what have you, and the wildlife as well, so the aquatic birds. And I saw a dolphin when we were coming back into Dover. Yeah. Which was amazing.
Don't say that too loudly, I don't want to promise that every time.
Yeah. But yeah, those are all things that will enhance this experience and make it unique. So yeah, definitely selling something there.
Yeah, it's we cross between Dover and Boulogne-sur-Mer, which crosses the Dover Strait. It's a slightly different route to Dover-Calais, which the ferry operates, and that's because we want to stay out of their way as well. But also, Boulogne is for us a more convenient port than Calais. But yeah, it means there's lots to see on the way. If you don't see any wildlife, you're certainly going to see all sorts of different ships. The navigational marks along the way, bird life, the region, the cliffs, yeah, all that. And you know, there's lots to learn as well about the navigation, about tides, depending on how much you know. And I really do want to be able to offer this to people who have never really been on a boat before. It is an opportunity to step into this world of sailing, of yachting, as it were, for the price of a ticket and not for the price of a yacht club membership or knowing somebody who has a boat you can do that on.
Okay, well, the practicalities then. So if people are tempted by this, how can they join the ferry? How can they find out more? So you have your website, which you've already mentioned. So that's saillink.co.uk. And there's already on there, people can become investors and get a discounted ticket in the future. Is that right?
Yeah, there's an investment opportunity for the launch of SailLink, which will be together with this business plan that I'm still trying to get together. But also what I'm doing in order to sort of support my daily work on sailing and cover some costs is to offer supporter tickets. And this is a little crowdfunding support whereby basically you buy the equivalent of a ticket, but it gets you 50% off the equivalent future travel. So basically that money feeds into the business development. And then once we're launched, you can come back to us and it'll give you 50% off that same ticket.
Great. And so the website is the best place for people to find out more about it, is it, I suppose?
Yes, the website is a good place, although I need to update it again. Other places, LinkedIn, or I try to do things on Facebook and Instagram, but again, I'm not really where I need to be.
But there's enough on there, I guess, that people will sort of, if they're interested in joining, you'll be announcing things on those channels, I imagine.
That's right, yeah. And as soon as, once the thing builds momentum and we're really heading towards the launch, then, somebody will have to come on board to do social media, public relations, but also press releases, etc. Yeah.
So just to finish, so you mentioned, this is not to do with the sailing, but you mentioned that you live in Switzerland and you travel back and forth. So how do you do that? What are the practicalities of that?
Well, I've lived here for, I don't like to say it, but over 20 years, always traveling back and forth a bit, more now with the development of sailing. My mother lives in England, so I was always going at least once a year. And now how would I do it? I have a folding bike and I have an Interrail ticket and then I travel TGV in France and then, quite often with the Eurostar, because with the Interrail, you can get good value reservations. I think it's very good value. Of course, the procedures are not so nice often with these things. It's, again, still like flying, isn't it, going on those sort of things. But anyway, it works. It gets you there. It's quite quick. So that's how I do it. You can just about get a folding bike on a Eurostar if you pack it up and have a bag and find the right scanner to put it through, the oversized scanner. Or if I'm just going literally across to Dover, I've got to get to Dover, I'll take the ferry, for example. But in general, folding bike, Eurostar, Interrail, and then that, you can get to Paris, for example, and cycle between the train stations rather than going on the metro.
That's easy, isn't it? I've done that several times. And that's by far my recommended or favourite way of crossing Paris. I mean, you have to be a cyclist and you kind of have to want to do it,
Well, I did it. I remember doing it quite a few years ago. And it was, when you're talking about experiences, it was an experience. Now, the mayor of Paris, absolutely radical transformations for cyclists. So it is also now pleasurable. It's nice. There's cycle routes. You've got to watch out.
Yeah. Do you know, the last time, there's a cycle route pretty much the entire way. The last time I didn't even have my phone. I think it had died and I wasn't sure of the way. So I just stopped someone, said, Ouai la gare du Nord, and I managed to get there. It's not difficult. Real pleasure. And in fact, there's a lovely walking route as well along the canal.
Yeah, that's a nice one. Have you found that viaduct you can walk along?
No.
Oh, that is really, it's close to the Gare de Lyon. Mm. And it goes up in the direction of the Gare du Nord and the canal. Not so far, but if you can get there and get up it, it's not very convenient if you've got a bike, you've got to carry it up. And then really up there, it's really just for sauntering along, but it's absolutely fantastic.
Wow. Well, there you go. There's a bit of bonus content on how to cross Paris.
and I'm happy to help people with that as far as my capacity allows. You know, how do you link up with a ferry, for example, to get across if they want to start on the other side or get back or this and that? From my experiences, maybe I have to put all that on the internet site. But
yeah, I suppose that is part of it, isn't it? Because it's not just the ferry crossing. The people who typically will be traveling with you are going to want to be traveling on either side and might not know how to. So yeah, really, really good.
Well, yes, I did hope that, and I do want to encourage that and enable that. But more and more, I've actually had people contacting me to say, where can I park my car in Dover or in Boulogne? I said, actually, I have not looked into that. And I'm quite frank, I'm not so interested in looking into that. I've never parked a car there, so actually I don't know. But do I need to provide information on this? I don't know.
Do you know what? If that's not your target audience, they can work it out themselves.
Well, it's not. But this is it. The people join. At the end of the day, I would like to fill the boat with 12 people each time. And if people just want to come for the sailing experience and not for the travel, then they're going to get to the port by however they can. And we all know in the UK, and also in France, you know, there's not a train station in every village. So that's how they're going to get there. And maybe I do need to provide a bit of help. But it's more that I've never actually done it, so I can't speak from experience. That's more of the...
Okay. Well, I wish you all the best with this. And I really hope that it does launch in April. As I said, when I was on the boat, it was great, and I could really see it happening. So, good luck with all of the preparations over the next few months.
Thank you so much. It was lovely to have you on board. And sometimes it's a really nice crossing, isn't it? I think even when the motor is on, okay, if we're motoring, then people can go up forward. It's a big catamaran. They can go up on the net and lounge around, and that's also really nice. When it's not such nice weather, we have good shelter
and tea, importantly,
and
tea and
tea, enough biscuits to sink the ship almost.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, well, thanks so much, Andrew. Really great to hear your plans, and as I said, good luck with it all. And thank you, listener, for joining us again on our podcast. And we will be back next month with another conversation. So until then, stay safe, stay grounded, and stay adventurous.
Yes, thank you, Anna. Goodbye, listeners.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by the team at Flight Free UK. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to join the Flight Free Challenge for 2023. All you need to know for your challenge is at flightfree.co.uk. The Flight Free Podcast will